by name and by fire. A list of the cup thieves be put on the warehouse. Before a cup thief can request anything from the warehouse, he or she must submit to a complete search of his quarters to see if he or she has any reason to request the items. Caught thieves will not be able to get items from the warehouse using the excuse that they were trying to replace stolen or missing items. They should have to do without them indefinitely. This is the feeling of several people, including Professor Tropp, on that particular point. In addition, the thief is susceptible to periodic searches, unannounced. This is to be applied now in checking inspectors with Vernetta Christian, recording secretary for the entire Jonestown community. And all people caught in thievery are susceptible and must have periodic searches, unannounced, of his or her quarters to see if their possessions are in strict accord with the list. Any item in question will be immediately confiscated, taken, and put back in central supply. No questions asked. Known thieves are to be always under suspicion until that pattern has been changed drastically. If a person has suffered a theft, it should be their right to make a citizen's arrest of any known thief whom they suspect might be guilty. I repeat, if any person has suffered a theft, it is their right to make a citizen's arrest of any known thief whom they suspect might be guilty. Guyanese law supports that, and be able to accompany the suspect to their quarters and have all of their belongings searched on the spot. This will make it extremely uncomfortable and embarrassing to be a thief in Jonestown, a socialist cooperative. Thievery is not that extensive compared to the norms of other socialist communities or even the capitals of major socialist countries that are still in the evolution from capitalism to socialism. And no way does it compare to the thievery back in capitalist society or fascist society, USA. But thievery is one of the worst crimes against the people. It's a breakdown of society that will not be tolerated. No way, sense or form. Special incentives will be given for anyone who catches a thief and reports them. We will be giving you special rewards, not just candies, but very special rewards, which will be worked out in detail. Again, I say, special incentives will be given for anyone who catches a thief and reports them to the socialist community. Reporting injustices in a social setting that is pure, a socialist cooperative puts a high premium on reporting, the opposite of that in a capitalist society. Because in a socialist community, you're reporting injustice when someone steals, someone who's breaking the equality, the most important aspect of life, the equality that we have, which is our highest virtue. So you should put a high incentive upon reporting any crimes against the people. In the States, it would be different when you were reporting a crime against the propertied bourgeois moneyed class. But here you are reporting when someone steals, they're stealing from the people. A grave immorality, a horrible crime. And thus, it is a highly recommended virtue to report thievery, and you will be rewarded. This must be taught in every level of the school system. I'm asking it, these points to be observed now, that I am making and implemented in every class, because somehow the message has not been gotten across to a lot of our residents that it's entirely different, horribly different, to steal from rich property class interest, from stores of the wealthy, from homes of the bourgeoisie, than it is to steal from the people. A horrendous crime to steal from people in our struggle to make egalitarianism equality for all. People must keep all their belongings in their quarters. Any belongings found elsewhere are to go to the warehouse. When people are reporting into learning, they must take their belongings with them, or psychological isolation. Their belongings must be secured. The lad that came out of psychological orientation, David Goodwin, had everything he owned stolen. This will not be tolerated. We will reach to the core of these criminals against the people. For you are not stealing the property of the rich. You are stealing from the people. I want to emphasize and review that and reiterate that until you understand how criminal your behavior is when you steal from your fellow communist. This will hopefully prevent people from stashing stolen goods if we require that all of your belongings be in your quarters. As this is reviewed, perhaps later on in the day, these rules about thievery, people in the warehouse should take note of what I have said as recommendations on how to handle people caught stealing, and the complete list that is to be made of all their belongings, every citizen of Jonestown, and to have it put on the warehouse. The list of the caught thieves to be put on the warehouse. And everyone in the community should have your own possessions. Particularly, we'll be noting the list of all the belongings of those who have been stealing. So we will have a clear, defined area in which to work with those who have this pathology of criminality against the people. I am sure that some do not know what they are doing and will change with proper instruction about the difference of stealing from the property class, the rich ruling elements, and the bourgeoisie middle class, as opposed to stealing from people who are all attempting to share equally and do share equally in medical treatment, medical supplies, food supplies, housing, shelter, raiment, specialized medicines in Georgetown. We have this egalitarianism that must be respected and will be respected, because we will deal very, very firmly, as we have Guyanese law behind us. We will deal most firmly with those who steal from the people. I will declare an amnesty as of now, in which everyone has the opportunity to turn in anything that is not yours to the warehouse. You have approximately 24 hours to do this with no questions asked. Again, I declare, I say I will give an amnesty of 24 hours in which everyone has the opportunity to turn in anything that is not yours, no questions asked. But if you do wait beyond that 24 hours, you will be punished severely. The law of the community will deal with you severely unless you take advantage of this amnesty that I am now invoking, which will last 24 hours, which gives you the opportunity to turn in anything that is not yours, and there will be no questions asked. For instance, we can assume, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, that perhaps it ended up in your belongings unwittingly, or you got someone else's material from the warehouse. But you better be free of anything that has someone else's initials or name, because we are absolutely going to deal, and you can tell from the content of this message, we are systematically going about it thoroughly, and you have not heard all of the methods
we are going to employ to deal with thievery. This will be followed by an unannounced, selective, and systematic search after the 24-hour amnesty, in which you can turn in anything without any punishment. So if the amnesty is not taken advantage of, you as a people, as a community, for the good of all, everyone here will be subject to a very severe punishment if a search uncovers anything in your belongings that is not rightfully yours. I do hope that I make myself very clear. You can tell from the substance and content of this message about criminality, stealing from the people, as opposed to former crimes of stealing against the property, a rich or white elitist, there is considerable difference. It's as different as night from day. When you steal against the property class, that's one thing, and even then you should have used it for revolutionary thought. But stealing is abhorrent to socialists. To steal from the people, to steal in a Guyanese society that is building socialism, nay. It will be dealt with as the most severe crime. And this has been the practice of every socialist republic, from the continent of Africa to the great USSR, even in the good domestic policies of China. Thievery will not be tolerated. And we are coming down on it strongly. No more toleration of stealing. Even though it is a small element of the population, all of you who have been caught stealing, your names are to be, as again said, posted on the warehouse. I mean those that have had grave stealing problems. Everyone is to give a list of your possessions, if you want them properly secured, that can be put in file in the central supply warehouse that gives to us all equally. And all those that have ever stolen, better get your list in mighty quick now, because if your list does not coincide or jive with what inspectors are going to be doing now with quick, unexpected, unsuspected searches of your property, the people's property that belongs to you, if they find anything in your possession that you do not have listed now. So Vedanta Christian will be held responsible to get to all those that have had a chronic pattern of stealing, or who stole considerable amount of goods from the people in even one conspiracy. You must give a list of all your belongings now, so that there'll be a copy for the warehouse and a copy for our secretary, Mrs. Christian. Thank you very much. Stand by. We sent a request in. Of note of interest, Atlas Magazine, known for its international news, and is a capitalistic magazine, points out that rock music, and this high type of tempo, pitch, and decibels, and boom-shaking rhythm, is dangerous to health. They've done some experiments with mice, guinea pigs, and other forms of animal life, and actually have proven that it causes coronary occlusions, strokes, affects the eyes, permanently damaging the ears, and it is thought stress on other organs also ends up destroying and causing other diseases, even such as cancer. So I, Professor Roller, I'd rather not hear rock at all, as it makes me nervous. But we are considerate and will allow you your choices of music. It is hypnotic. It is used for deprogramming people so they won't think, use their reflective senses. And it's very, very harmful. This rock type of music is very dangerous to plant life. We still give you what you choose. The plants ought to be a good interpreter of what good music is, because they respond to the classics, to the symphonic music. Even a tomato plant will grow better to the music of Gershwin. So if they know what is sensitive to life, we as another form of life, animal, human life, should also take a message from them. Anyway, the chamber music available may bore some people and probably infuriate the youth. But I think you could lend your ear to see some of its value. As Professor Roller speaks, there are composers of the symphonic music who were champions of freedom and revolution. Verdi is an outstanding example. Many of his operas are on such themes. Don Carlos is one, for instance, which is about the struggle to free the Netherlands from the Spanish. Another rewarding detail about Verdi is that he is unusually sympathetic to the old and racial minorities. Stand by. Nina Trovatore is an old gypsy woman who inspires the audience support for her situation. Another of the classic composers who backed liberation causes was Beethoven, his opera, Fidelio. Fidelio is about a man and a faithful woman who tries to free him from prison after he's in prison for helping in a revolution. In Tosca, by Puccini, also as a revolutionary hero. A hero, and the story describes the way he and his sweetheart are tricked and he is killed by the enemy forces. Beethoven was such a believer in revolutionary freedom that he followed the victories of the French Revolution with intense sympathy. He dedicated his famous Fifth Symphony to Napoleon, whom he believed was leading the revolutionary armies. When he heard that Napoleon had made himself emperor, he tore the dedication page up. That story is well documented. There are also some folk songs and Western songs, black spirituals and work songs. Some other music which might appeal to the people is the light opera or musical comedy or plays of Kurt Weill. Bertolt Brecht, as we all know, was a playwright who fled from the Nazis and lived in various Allied countries during World War II. He returned to live in Communist East Germany after the war and was head of a famous experimental theater there. His numerous plays and musical renditions all deal with communism and freedom struggles, so we ought to get Brecht's music, and are full of catchy tunes and lyrics. Weill wrote the music. One of the best is Mother Courage, about the Hundred Years' War, one of the strongest anti-war plays ever written, the Three Penny Opera, which has marvelous music and poems to match. It's a satire on the wealthy and beggars. Also makes its points about loyalty in love, loyalty and camaraderie of principle. We wonder if anyone brought tapes of these really excellent works. Brecht, communist, is a poet of some note also, and Edith Roller, Professor Roller, brought a book of his poems, which is in the library. Galileo is a thorough study of the conscience of man of science, inspired by the explosion of the atomic bomb and the responsibility of scientists. Professor Roller's students at Merritt liked it, although he's short on romance, as usually conceived, and is very intellectual, which would be good for us. That is, the action is that of the soul, the deep loyalties of the mind. It doesn't have much music on it, however. Anyway, there are some ideas. The sound of music is rather escapist, but it did come from oppression. It feeds the belief that all will be well in the world if boy and girl can get together, though. We'd just like to have a mixture of music and teach familiarity with all kinds of music to all of our people. Perhaps the old adage that good money will drive out the bad will also be true of the music. Anyway, something for you to consider. We need to be concerned about agriculture. We have a problem in that we don't have enough people getting in-depth training. It involves a basic organizational problem that really is disturbing, at least to farm analysts such as Shaken. The problem is that people are changing jobs and are permitted, are requested to do so in ways that do not permit the growth of a skilled group of farmers. Some background should be given. Our farm is not productive enough to meet our needs. The last yield of sweet potatoes reap yielded maybe one-third of the usual or reasonable expected yield. We have fruiting problems with the citrus. Our cassava yields are very low. Our banana yields are also low. We have more fertilizer, equipment, tools, books than practically any Guyanese farmer would have. Our soil, of course, is different and represents more challenges. Yet we produce substantially less than practically any local successful commercial farmer, though I'm sure we're trying hard at it. The reason for a good part of it is obvious. We don't know how to farm well in this tropical area. We don't have the years of experience that makes know-how, nor are we studying how the local farmers do it. Our farming people never will get the experience if they are shifted every few months. We now only have two people in agriculture who can said to be professionally trained, Russell Moulton, agronomist, and James Simpson. The rest, like Shaken says, even himself, are only amateurs. On the next level, the farm and crews are getting so large that our better people can no longer act as field supervisors. They are just spread too thin. So field crews are directly supervised by only slightly trained people. When persons who must be knowledgeable, supervisors and assistant supervisors, are permitted to leave it farming and are replaced by less skilled people, to experience that teaches people to be farmers. Farming is going to have to be put at the highest priority. And the experience that teaches people to be farmers is neither obtained or retained under this system that we now have. Unless we can develop a cadre, avant-garde of well-trained farmers, we feel that the farm will never be as productive as it must be to take care of our needs. Relatively unskilled labor can be used but only by the genuinely skilled agricultural farming people, and that skill comes only from staying in the farmland, in the fields of production. Example, the supervision of the cassava crew has been changed three times in the last 6 months. Russell Moulton to Rob Gigg to Margarita Romano to Tina Turner. I understand the present supervisor, Tina, has only some 6 months field experience all day and does not want the job. That is just what has been reported. Margarita, now teaching, temporarily in theory, said she has been trying or waiting to get into the teaching skills for 6 months. Steering almost appointed a supervisor, a very beautiful person, who's only been on the crew and in Jonestown for just 3 weeks at that time. We have to have more background in farming skills than that to be able to supervise. Except for Danny, all of the field supervisors of the banana crew have changed twice over in the last 6 months. This must stop and must be put at high priority consideration by coordinators, steering committee, and all of we in this socialist town farm communal society. This turnover policy is supported by the general policy that everyone must work 2 weeks in the field, though some do not, and that after several months, workers in the field can expect, like Margarita, Tina Turner, Bob Davis, and many others, to be removed from the fields, which is the mother of us all, the source of our life. All should be in demand to get into the fields, because that's where we're going to eat. Perhaps we can alter work schedules. Maybe we can give alternate times in other areas. Later it won't be such a heavy schedule, but now we must produce these fields, or we are literally murdering people who want to come to freedom. Today in Georgetown, we were notified by Comrade Moulton's daughter that their son is in great danger. People like that all the time, I think Glenn Jr., are always in need of help. But we haven't even been able yet to see the way to take care of our own people. We certainly will take care of a young man like that, and we'll do our best, but we must produce the land. As Shaken says, we do not recognize that we have many non-agricultural priorities. Perhaps that's true, that we have other priorities, but the greatest priority, as Shaken says, and I agree, and other analysts also agree, is the policy with respect to farming and to the transfer of persons from agriculture. It must be rationalized within our need to maintain an avant-garde cadre of permanent farm workers so that they can obtain the experience and skill to become productive farmers. For that is what we are here to do in Guyana, and that's the way we'll build our image and be always needed and can avoid the fear of ever having to be removed, although our own solidarity is our best defense in that regard. But we can win the people to accepting our need to be present at every level of Guyanese society by being successful farmers. That's what the Deputy Prime Minister, the Prime Minister, and all the Cabinet have said over and again. We must be farmers. That's the need of agriculture in Guyana, to produce, to feed the people. A great opportunity, a great challenge, rich land. Though we don't have the richest soil of the coastal area, we can still utilize this soil, and by gaining knowledge, perhaps bringing in certain expertise from Amerindians from time to time, we can also all learn how to farm this land well. As the size of the farm grows, we must have stability in the organization and skills of those farming this great Jonestown project, or we will not successfully maintain what we have and expand as per our plans. So I'm putting this as an emergency order that we reshift our people, personnel, having children perhaps even more acquainted with farming. There's a time to learn the professions, and the professions are essential, medicine particularly, essential to maintain our people's health. But you cannot maintain one's health. There'll be nothing to treat if we don't eat. So eating comes from farming, and farming must be our top-notch consideration. It has been suggested by Ibo Bob Davis, a number of his suggestions, which should be taken to steering. One thing is that he suggests that the flag of Guyana should be flown on an antenna pole for good PR, a flag at the gate, and also here in our own project. The radio at the dispatch office is useless if the generator goes out. There should be a battery that could be switched to if there is no power. These are some of his requests and suggestions. He has one on wick torches, an alternate plan to Ron Talley's suggestion at last people's rally of having two or three teams that would rotate duty. He recommends that there should be six or eight teams. Radio should be moved to a shelf on the outside of the building, away from the road, so that the guard on duty does not have to go into the building to check in with the dispatch office, which often awakens the relief guard. I don't know. Some may be workable, some not. Some sound good. Small, nice, picnic-style table and bench be made for eating convenience and beautifying the front gate entrance. Cooking equipment needed. One pot for heating coffee water. One pot for cooking rice. Flip-over turner, plates, cups, spoons, soap for washing utensils, and wash pan. Some of these may not be within the reach of us, but they're worthy considerations, and we always appreciate those considerations. Eugene Shaken brings in an important suggestion. Our Richard Gennaro met a civil engineer in Georgetown that I appointed him to, named Fletcher, who has heavy background in development schemes and knows a lot about the Northwest. He would like to give us analysis of our energy needs and the best way to meet them at no change, at no charge, according to Richard Gennaro, to us. He is interested in our project, particularly in the gas generation that Don Fitch is building. To do the analysis, he would like us to write him a letter containing the following information, and we should do if we have not. Identification of the problems, our present and projected fuel needs, and our present usage in categories, e.g. 300 gallon diesel per month for generating electricity, 1800 gallons diesel per month for agriculture and land clearing. and then whatever it takes for tractors and the DC-6 Caterpillar tractors. These are just hypothetical illustrations. The relevant information, what is energy used for? That is, for cooking here, baking, generating electricity, for our water pumps and lighting, and operation of our woodworking equipment and sawmills, and metalworking in our machinery shop. Where does it come from now? Quantified in tons. Firewood, coal, gallons of diesel, gas, and kerosene. We need all this broken down for him. Perhaps Professor Tropp, consulting with Chaikin, could get this kind of letter that he needs. And then he wants to know available wood fuels. Wants identification of common local species of trees in the bush or the jungle. Relative proportions and what we use them for. How are we using the land? That is, a percentage for industrial, commercial, residential, community, recreational, agricultural, crops and pasture, so forth, livestock. He would like our comments on the gas generator, which is a marvelous concept that he has once thought of himself, this Comrade Fletcher, at 169 New Market Street in Georgetown. And our Don Fitchell, Doc, as we call him affectionately, thought of here that would save us tremendous fuel cost if it can be affected. And so Comrade Fletcher, Terence Fletcher, would like our comments on the gas generator or other energy devices. He recently authored two papers on the use of special devices to generate energy in third world countries for the United Nations, or CARICOM, or some organization like that, I believe. Richard would like to get it and deliver it personally. I think it is a great idea. Chaikin says this, and I agree. If Richard is sure of the no fee, no charge to us, and we are careful how we write the letter. The information needs to come from several departments. Maybe Lee Ingram could bird dog it. It would be suggested that he could, and then Charlie, who's busy in coordination, could also give any proper input. That is one of the essentials. Now we will go into news of the day. News of the day, the most important event of the day, as I recall from my hearing, was that Transkei, a large province and right in Union of South Africa, that was considered territory of the Union of South Africa, in a courageous stance, has broken away from Union of South Africa today. Transkei economically depended upon Union of South Africa, the racist regime. Look at the map, the tip of South Africa. The Transkei province has declared its independence and has been assured of backing by Zambia, Mozambique, and Tanzania. Also, the Finnish Prime Minister, who has grown closer and closer to the Soviet Union, the vanguard of Marxist-Leninist liberators in the world of Africa today particularly, the Finnish Prime Minister is on his way to Zambia and Tanzania for consultations on how Finland, which is a quasi-social democracy and free enterprise system mixed, will be providing economic and military aid to those governments, and in turn Zambia and Tanzania funnel their aid, as you know, into the patriotic front, fighting the Ian Smith dreaded regime. Ian Smith, Prime Minister of Rhodesia or Zimbabwe, look these matters up on the map till you know every African nation by heart, today rejected all offers or overtures to meet with the patriotic front. Where his courage or encouragement is coming from is not known at this particular point in time, probably from some assurances from the U.S. monopoly capitalist interest. Stand by. Nonetheless, he will have to meet with the Patriotic Front, or be driven out of Rhodesia, because they have nearly one half of the land area of Rhodesia or Zimbabwe under their control, and the Patriotic Front under Robert Mugabe and Joshua Nkomo, leaders of the Patriotic Front, represent 3 out of 4 of the citizens in Zimbabwe attempting to overthrow the pirate regime, the Nazi-like regime of Ian Smith. Letter bomb explodes delivered to the Communist Party headquarters in New York City today. One of the attendants was treated for cuts and burns. Another received bad burns in the face. Earlier on Friday in London, a letter bomb exploded at the headquarters of the Britain, England's 25,000-member Communist Party, and there a janitor was injured severely. Soviet Union, according to Secretary Vance, USA Secretary Vance, U.S. Secretary of State Vance, I should say, for your identification, is ballyhooing. His hue and cry on the Voice of America is, the Soviet Union has now broken through with satellite killers. Some new device, probably laser in nature, that can destroy all the satellites of any nation except their own. He is crying immediately that the USSR must get back to SALT talks. The USSR is saying unless USA enters into legal contract with the Geneva Conference, Peace Conference, and the United Nations, that they will not make the barbaric neutron bomb. They will continue to unleash more superiority in military technology than USA ever dreamed possible. USA admits today, through Secretary of State Vance, that the Soviets indeed do have capability, through some kind of beam, laser warfare, of destroying all satellite platforms and every satellite orbiting in space except their own. That will give a high advantage to the Soviet Union in the war of liberation against the oppressors. We have been invited, as you know, to sing, to dance, and to entertain in three different celebrations coming up in Georgetown. You that wish to do so will have to prove your interest in production by giving extra time in doing things with your hands to make every inch of the ground grow. Over one technicality, we are making a demand that we receive coverage from the last performance. Certain elements of the press here are undoubtedly in the control of those not friendly to as advanced socialist, Marxist-Leninist as we are. So we are demanding that they give coverage to the last event in their major newspaper organ, the Chronicle. If they want our talent, they will give us coverage. That is a stance I'm taking. Every day I take a stance of white knight. Fortunately, every day it doesn't lead to white knights. But one has to live the crazy nigger life all the time in order to maintain your life. As Shirley Hicks said in one of her write-ups, the beauty is that no one can come and take your child away. No guarantees ever exist in the United States of capitalist fascism. Your children are always the prey, the drug pusher, the system in crime, youth and adult gangs, and then finally genocidal patterns of ethnic weapons and concentration camps in which our people would have been destroyed. But here your father stands high on the wall of your protection and states every day, don't try to take any of our children. Give us our proper prestige. Give us our liberty, or give us our death. At least on those terms, we choose our death, and no one chooses it for us. A tremendous protection when you have a leader, and some are fearful that he's dying or aging. Don't worry, your father is much in command. He stands as a mighty rock of Gibraltar and is capable of many a battle. I would suggest that when he is in the walkways or the streets of the community, that not so many people just stop and converse at one time with him. As I have suggested, I will converse with you if you will make note and need some special counsel. Send it to the office. I counsel, sitting in a chair, monitoring the theater, seeing how people react to bourgeoisie propaganda. And I point out, I moderate views. I don't always do the talking, as Professor Tropp is so kind to assist, because my voice always feels like a boil. But it's good to see community reactions, and it's good for me to get certain stimulation from watching films such as Children of the Damned, and particularly The Day of the Jackal, which I think should be shown again and again. Tonight, of course, is People's Rally. Then we'll go more days between this one and the next one. Agriculture and other reports are to be prepared for full delivery. If I decide to make them concise, that will be my responsibility. I wish we could just attend to agricultural matters alone. Take thought to the admonition I gave to you just a moment ago, that we must stop this alternating of people out of agriculture. We must stop this bourgeoisie spoiling that we have, that we want to get out of the fields. We should revere the fields. I would to God I could be in the fields every day and didn't have this mental pressure of strategy like today, having to make the proper terming of the words so that they will realize we mean business, that we intend to be given respect and coverage by God, or we will not be utilized. They want us to be the chief float and march in the days of May Day Workers' Communist Celebration. Then, by God, they will recognize us. If they want us to sing and perform and consider us to be the best talent and the best band, then they will give you coverage. Not that we want it, but we are tired of being used by any element anywhere. We have had that from our beginnings in the dregs of fascist USA. And so it's up to the government to stand up to their goddamnable press and say, give those people some coverage. I don't want the coverage. I don't. When I talk all night on the radio, up all night, I never even use my own name. I just get the information and the education to build goodwill for Jonestown, for Mission Village, for this agricultural project of People's Temple. There is nothing of me that wants to be given any attention. I don't want to be in any of these articles. But by God, I do intend to see that they give coverage in their news media of your entertainment program. Now, we're not in a white knight situation. We've been covered by special programs. Our musicians and talent, we're on all kinds of radio shows. I'm talking about the one element in this government that apparently seems to block some coverage in the one little medium. We were heard on all of the radio stations and all the media one way or the other, but we were given a word that this Sunday there would have been a full coverage. Now, it may be procrastination, and probably is. Whatever, by God, it will be done before we return to perform for them. If they are ashamed of us, their media people, giving us attention, then they can be ashamed of us when we are to walk with them and give them the only talent backing, the most superior musical talent backing that they have. We will not be used. So I live in a climate not expecting the day to end and don't give a shit. I will stand up for what is right. That's why you have so much protection. You've seen every white knight be victorious, because I make my whole will, body, mind, and soul a willing sacrifice to protect our children, our seniors. Last week when they wanted to come in, the court orders against child and with seniors, I make my stand clear. By the way, Leanne Harris, be sure to let your dad know that he had better not come here, that you do not want any more part of him, and for him to go forthwith to hell, because he will not be allowed to come into the interior. He's talking about flying a plane. He will fly it in, and it'll be shot down. But it can't be flown anyway. The government won't allow it. So you please put on record, our radio needs to tell the government that she does not want to see him. She's a grown adult, and we do not have to be imposed upon by a fascist pig who is working along with all of our enemies, the Stones and so forth, and was on the radio show. We got their letters. We got all the letters that they sent to a radio station. We have them all in our file. And he was one of the sniping bastards that wants to possess a grown adult woman and use her for some sexual sublimation of his mind or possession. Well, he will not come here. That's the stance I take every day. And that's just a few of the stances I've taken today, saying, hell no, you can't come, or hell no, we will not do this. This is what I mean by a mind standing up, ready to die at any time. It gives you far longer guarantees. You'll live much longer, free of worry, free of the terrible pressures that bother every other citizen on earth, because you have a leader standing in the gap of the hedge, standing on the wall, as it were, like a Nehemiah, and will not fall down in principle. He will safeguard you. He will shepherd you. He will protect you. The clash near Tyre, South Lebanon. Israeli forces and Palestinian commandos clashed severely near Tyre yesterday, shortly after the arrival of the commander of the United Nations Peace Force in Lebanon, who did nothing to help the Palestinian Liberation Front. However, the Palestinian Liberation Front drove the Israelis out of the district. Force Commander Major General Emmanuel Erskine had come to inspect French troops stationed in the region. Major General Emmanuel Erskine is a black Nigerian Ghanaian who is somewhat the Uncle Tom. Film actor John Wayne had a massive heart attack requiring open heart operation. We are very sorry for this right-wing cowboy. He is in a critical condition after an operation was performed yesterday of some 5 hours. His son Patrick told reporters he would be a great loss to the nation. Well, that's a matter of opinion. Stand by.
Nicosia.
Unfortunately, the Cyprus court yesterday sentenced two Palestinians to hang for shooting dead a close friend of Egypt's